History at hand, revision at your fingertips.
In 1956, the first major challenge to Nikita Khrushchev's rule in the Soviet Union and the Eastern Bloc took place. Hungary rose up against communist rule, and for a while, it seemed as if it might be lost to the Warsaw Pact. In this podcast, we'll be exploring the background to the crisis, how the Hungarians sought to break free of Soviet rule, and what the Russians did about it, and its impact on international relations in the Cold War. Hungary was liberated by the Red Army from Nazi rule in November 1944, and, like with most of the rest of Eastern Europe, the Red Army remained in place over the next few years. By 1947, the Communists had become the single largest party in Hungary. They had managed to intimidate and bully and bribe and unite with other parties in order to gain this position of preeminence. In February 1949, under Matthias Rákosi, Hungary becomes a People's Republic. Communist control is strengthened through the use of the secret police, the AVH, and noted opponents of the regime, like the Cardinal Joseph Mindszenty, were actually arrested and put in prison. Under communist rule, the Hungarian people seemed to suffer. One person said there's only three types of people in Hungary: those who are not yet in prison, those who are in prison, and those who have been in prison. Land reform had done little to benefit the mass of the Hungarian people. There was also a great deal of resentment about the presence of the Red Army. In much of Hungary, street signs were in Russian as well as in Hungarian, and it seemed the costs of looking after the Red Army were too much for the economy to bear, and people were suffering. Following the death of Joseph Stalin in 1953, a glimmer of hope opened up for the Hungarian people. The emergence of Khrushchev and his talk of the thaw and peaceful coexistence encouraged the Hungarian people to think that they too may become more free. The policy of de-Stalinization from 1956 onwards offered the hope that reform could be possible within a communist framework. Examples of reform, which had happened in East Germany and more significantly in Poland earlier in 1956, gave inspiration to those in Hungary seeking reform. In June 1956, Rákosi sought approval from the Kremlin to take a harsher line against opponents within Hungary. Khrushchev refused to give any backing to Rákosi, and he was forced to resign, ostensibly for health reasons, and he was replaced by a more moderate Erno Gero. Gero, though, was still seen by the people of Hungary as Moscow's stooge, and as a result of it, this didn't stop the clamour for reform. Things came to a head on the 23rd of October 1956, when a crowd of 200,000 took to the streets. The people demanded independence and a withdrawal of Soviet troops. They wanted to see an end to the hated secret police, the AVH, and they wanted a more democratic form of rule. Symbolic of the mood within Budapest was the pulling down of the great statue of Stalin. This was a clear signal to Moscow that things were getting out of control. So what should Khrushchev do about it? Over the next few days, Imre Nagy, a well-respected and reformist Hungarian politician, took on the role of leader. The mood on the streets remained ugly as hand-to-hand fighting took place between rebels and Red Army soldiers. Tanks were in the middle of Budapest and hundreds were killed. Further symbols of Soviet authority, like the Red Star, were also hauled down from buildings. The revolution then started to sweep through the Hungarian countryside. It seemed like the whole country was lost to communism. On the 28th of October, a new government was sworn in with Nagy as its leader. He begins negotiations with the Soviets. He says he will promise reforms, and that he will ask for the Soviet troops to be withdrawn, and the secret police, the AVH, will be disbanded. The traditional flag of Hungary will be returned. On the 30th of October, Soviet troops withdraw from Budapest. Cardinal Mindszenty is freed from prison. It is at this point that the gravity of the situation becomes clear to Khrushchev and those in Moscow wanting to maintain Soviet control in Eastern Europe. The frameworks of communist authority were to be disbanded. Elections would now be free, the courts would become impartial, and private ownership would return to farming. What forced Khrushchev's hand more than any other action, though, was the decision made on the 1st of November for Hungary to leave the Warsaw Pact and to declare itself a neutral country in the guise of Austria, its neighbour. The Hungarian government and radio made appeals to Western nations and to the United Nations to recognise the new state of affairs. Enough was enough for Khrushchev. The Soviet troops that were amassing on the borders of Hungary started to move in, and on the 4th of November, the Soviet T-34 tanks rolled into Budapest in order to crush the revolution. With Soviet tanks now on the streets of Budapest, the Hungarians were faced with a terrible dilemma. Do they fight on, or do they give in? The Soviets attacked before dawn, and by 5:15 in the morning, Nagy was making his last appeal to the international community to help the Hungarians. The Hungarians bravely fought on, but it took only a matter of days before the Soviets had again reasserted full control. In bitter street-to-street fighting, at least 3,000 Hungarians were killed, and about 700 to 800 Soviets also lost their lives. A Soviet-backed regime was installed under Janos Kadar. He had previously been in prison for his anti-Stalin stance, and now it was hoped by Khrushchev that he could provide some sort of stability. A little bit of reform, but very much in the Warsaw Pact and under Soviet direction. By the 11th of November, the Soviets had claimed victory over the Hungarian freedom fighters. Imre Nagy sought refuge in the Yugoslav embassy. He was then promised safe passage by Kadar, but upon leaving, he was then arrested by Soviet forces, taken to Romania, where in 1958 he was put on trial and then hanged. He was given a state funeral by the Hungarian people in 1989. Cardinal Minzetskin actually sought refuge in the American embassy and was forced to stay in there until 1971, when he was finally allowed passage to live in Austria instead. The Hungarian Revolution failed for a number of reasons. First and foremost was that Hungary was part of the Soviet sphere of influence, and Khrushchev could not allow Hungary to leave the Warsaw Pact. Had they done so, it would have encouraged others to leave too, and then the Soviet security zone would be completely abandoned. In spite of American talk in the 1950s of rolling back communism, the Americans recognized that this was part of the Soviet sphere of influence, and as a result, friendly words but little else could be offered. Western attention was also focused on the ongoing crisis which had developed in the Middle East. The Suez Crisis involving Britain, France and Israel against President Nasser's Egypt deflected attention away from the cause of liberation in Hungary. The Hungarian uprising had a significant impact for the people of Hungary and for superpower relations. Under the communist leader Kadar, Hungary returned to communist orthodoxy and the state reasserted its control. Some 35,000 rebels were arrested and 300 executed. Although some reforms were carried out, on the central issue of the Warsaw Pact, Hungary was very firmly within the Soviet sphere. The Red Army increased from 2 to 4 divisions within the country, and the Hungarian people had to pay for the privilege. The Hungarian army itself was diminished and re-educated. Some 200,000 people fled across the border into Austria, and then beyond into Western Europe and America. Some of Hungary's finest could not tolerate the thought of remaining under communist control. As for Khrushchev, here he was able to reassert his control and cement his strength and position as leader of the Soviet Union. Many people had begun to doubt whether or not he was strong enough to deal with such issues. Here he had proven that he was willing to take strong, drastic action in order to safeguard the Soviet Union's central interests. Khrushchev's reputation in the West had taken a bit of a hammering. He had shown himself to be no different from Stalin when it came to asserting Soviet control. The interests of Moscow had again ridden roughshod over the aspirations of the people of Eastern Europe. For the Cold War in general, the Hungarian uprising showed again how spheres of influence had to be maintained. The Warsaw Pact remained intact, and the Americans could do very little about it. Had the Americans wished to intervene, then it could have escalated into a full-scale nuclear war. This clearly showed the impact of nuclear stalemate on Cold War thinking. The Hungarian uprising was an important milestone in the Cold War. It showed the unwillingness of the peoples of Eastern Europe to remain under communist controls, and it showed Moscow's willingness to ensure that they did so. It showed the unwillingness of the West to act within the Soviet sphere of interest. And crucially, it showed that Nikita Khrushchev, in spite of talking of peaceful coexistence, was willing to take whatever measures were necessary to ensure the Soviet Union maintained its authority and its reputation within the communist bloc. Goodbye and good luck.